Good evening, and I greet each one of you in Jesus' name this evening. It is a privilege to be here at Ridgeview again this evening and join in worshiping with all of you. As Floyd already mentioned, I'm somewhat familiar with the area. I spent the first 11 to 12 years of my life here at Versailles Church and School, so some of you know me well. Others of you maybe don't know who I am. So come from Pennsylvania, go to the church at Kirkwood, Kirkwood Mennonite Church, and I do feel quite alone this weekend. I left my wife and seven children behind. It just didn't seem very fitting for everybody to make the trip over the school time of the school and everything, school children. So I am out here by myself, but it's been a good weekend, and I appreciate the warm welcome of fellowship, and trust that we can worship together. It's just good to be in other communities and see people serving God where you are called, and keep up the good work, keep being faithful. There's a battle that continues to rage between right and wrong. As was mentioned, the title of my message this evening is Follow After Patience. And there's a story that is told of Michael Jordan, who is an all-star basketball player who played for the Chicago Bulls. And Jordan played in the NBA from 1984 to 2003. Now, the story of Michael Jordan practicing secretly at night while his teammates slept has become somewhat of a legend in sports history. The story highlights his intense work ethic and dedication to improving his skills. One famous account of this is when Jordan would sneak into the gym at the Barrett Center, the training facility of the Chicago Bulls, in the middle of the night. He would practice shooting, he would practice his footwork and other skills, often for hours, to refine his game and gain an edge over his competitors. Jordan's relentless pursuit of excellence set a high standard for professional athletes and inspired many to adopt a similar work ethic. Michael Jordan's practice regiment was notoriously intense and demanding. Jordan practiced for 5 to 6 hours every day, which included weightlifting, cardio, and basketball drill. And it was said that even after games, he would continue practicing on his own until he had done another 500 shots. On the road for basketball, during the basketball season, the travel schedule was very intense. Many late-night flights would often get them to their destination after midnight. The team would go to bed and get up at 7 or 8 o'clock and have breakfast, only to find that Michael Jordan had been up since 5, either out running or doing other practice. This level of commitment and discipline contributed significantly to his success and his status as one of the greatest basketball players of all times. And as I read this story recently, I was reminded of a life principle that applies in many areas of our life. It even applies in our spiritual life. The virtue of patience and endurance and persevering. You see, the world we live in with modern technology is not conducive to helping us grow in patience. We live in a world where we have microwaves and high-speed internet and Amazon Prime, social media, messaging apps, YouTube, music streaming, Uber, DoorDash, and AI has become harder and harder to be patient. We want instant answers. We want quick responses. We want delivery of products now. We want our flights to be on time. We want people to be there and services. And we can get almost anything we want brought to our door within 1 to 2 days. And as I witnessed in my own life, patience is not something that comes natural or something that grows. It's something that we have to work on, especially as we have more and more conveniences at our fingertips. We grow impatient. We grow impatient with ourselves. We grow impatient with our families. We grow impatient with other people. Maybe we're trying to help them. Maybe it's coworkers. And as I grow older, I also realize that many of the good and important things in life take time. They're not something that is instant or overnight. Think about the following list and how they take patience or endurance. What about your marriage? What about relationships? What about building a house or losing weight or child training or your devotional life or Bible knowledge or community, or other habits, such as saving money, or schooling, or playing an instrument, such as a piano, or whatever it may be, and the list goes on. Can you do any of those very well overnight? Is that something that you could just do a real good job at instantly? So let's just pretend if you would take the next 1 to 3, let's say 3 weeks, you would, maybe for you men, you'd take off of work, or women, and you want to focus on one thing, and you would spend 3 weeks working hard at one thing. Would you get good at it? Well, you would probably gain a level of expertise in that area, but it would be nothing like if you spent 1 day or 1 hour a day for the next 3 years honing that same skill, such as piano playing. You cannot rush learning an instrument, or you cannot rush building a house. I mean, you can do things fast, you can get things lined up, but it just takes time. And good things, things that are of quality, things that are of important, take consistent and perseverance over time. And we find the same way in our own Christian lives. We take 3 weeks off, we go to Bible school. It's good. It's very important, I think, that our young people go to Bible school. Is that going to make you a good Christian for the rest of your life? The answer is no. But what if you took 1 hour a day and you read your Bible for 30 years? I think you'll have a lot better results than you would out of a 3 week of classes. There's a saying that says if you throw a bucket of water on a rock, it does nothing. But you let a drop of water fall into that rock every day and it will create a hole in the rock. Consistency beats intensity. And I want us to apply that into our own lives, into our relationships, and especially into our spiritual life, is that consistency is what it's going to take to be good at something. And it takes patience, and it's not something that we naturally are inclined towards. You can get good at about anything if you are patient and consistent. Also, you appreciate something you work for. Many times if we do it quickly or we rush through it, it's not something that we appreciate the work we put into it. And many times in life, we just need to step back and look at the long-term view, and often we need to embrace monotony or something that happens over and over again. Too often we zero in on the here and the now. We zero on into the maybe this hour of the day or this day of the week or this weekend of our lives, and we forget to step back and look at it in light of a whole year or in light of our whole life. What is this day of our lives going to, how is that going to impact our life? Is it going to help us? Is it going to help us to grow? Or is it going to set us back? And we should need to, I think, take a look at our life as a little more of a whole more often. Or maybe we should even step back and look farther. How is the decisions that I make today, how are they going to affect your children and your grandchildren and the generations that come on after you? Is what you're doing today, let me back up, because what you are doing today will have an effect on the generations that come behind you. And are what you're doing today, is it going to be upbuilding? So my first point is patience is necessary. Patience brings spiritual growth and maturity. And you can turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. I want to read a number of verses here in James 1 and then also in James 5. As we think about the necessity of patience. James 1. And starting at verse 1 to verse 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Also, you turn over to James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. But be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, and of tender mercy. I'm going to stop reading there. These verses have a good many different points in about patience. There is something about the difficult things in life that if we accept and handle well, we become a better person. Or as it would actually say in these verses here, a perfect person. Or we will become perfect if we have this patience. We can handle life well if we accept the pace that things are happening at. We see that, all through James 1 there, but let this patience have her perfect work in you. Let that work, let it be in you, let it be working, growing, being better at it. Then there's also the thought over in James 5 that he talks about in verse 7, where he talks about the early and latter rains. And so it's talking there about a farmer who waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And it says that he waits a long time, or he has long patience for it until he receiveth the early and the latter rains. And this was talking, we don't quite have it here in the United States, where there was different rainy seasons. But there was a early rainy season and a later rainy season. In the early rainy season, the farmers would want to get their crops in the ground so that the early rain would come and the seed would germinate. And then it was the latter rains that came in the spring, and that would cause the grain to swell and to grow and be ready to harvest. And what James was saying here is that farmers needed to be patient, and farmers today need to be patient as well. You put seeds in the ground, and you cannot rush the fruit. There is no way to expedite getting fruit, corn from corn, or off of your apple trees, pear trees, whatever it may be. You cannot hurry up that process. It will happen when it happens. And it takes us patience. But we put seeds into the ground with a faith and trust that the Lord will help it germinate, will help it multiply, will help it come to the point of bearing fruit. And that same thought needs to be applied when we're maybe trying to work with others, or we're trying to work with our children maybe, and we just want them to grow up a little faster than they are. And it's something that cannot be rushed, but patiently waiting, patiently letting the Lord do the work, allowing the rain to cause growth. If we're patient, and if we work alongside of it, we are there to cultivate, we're there to plant the seeds, and in doing so, the Lord will bring the harvest, and it will be a great harvest if we're patiently there and walking alongside. And if we wait, there is no instant harvest, as I said before. We cannot just put the seeds in the ground and one day later go out and collect fruit from that. That's not how it works. You're going to get in trouble if you try to hurry the harvest. And I know in my own life, too often I try to hurry the harvest. I try to bring things, make things happen faster than maybe the Lord wants, or the Lord is allowing, or the other people are willing to do that. And again, back to the culture we live in, maybe it's different here in Missouri, but in Pennsylvania, people want things now. They patience is getting, it seems, shorter and shorter because they're so used to instant access of many things. You're going to lose your peace if you try to hurry the harvest. It's not peaceful, or it's not very relaxing to always be hurried and wanting to rush things. We'll not be at peace if we're not if we're trying to hurry the harvest. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Just a verse that implies or backs up the thought about the Lord is the one who gives the harvest. The Lord is the one who is bringing forth fruit. And wait on him. Be patient. Patience helps us trust in God's sovereignty and timing. Psalms 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Again, wait patiently on the Lord. Rest in him. Trust in God's sovereignty. Trust that he knows the timing of what is happening around you. He knows the timing of what is happening in your life. Wait on him. Be patient. Now, we probably need to balance that out at times where the Lord does ask us to move ahead in faith. The Lord asks us to take the next step. Maybe we don't know what the future holds for us, but we do need to step forth. But we also need to trust God's sovereignty and his timing. Patience allows us to experience God's peace and comfort. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Again, back to this thought of waiting on the Lord. Maybe the Lord has brought difficult experiences into your life. And maybe he's leading you places that are not comfortable for our earthly flesh. But if we patiently follow after him, I believe that God will give us a sense of peace and comfort because we are in his will, because we are trusting in him, we're following with him. "Wait upon the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. He will lift you up," it says, "as up with wings as eagles." And we think about the eagles soaring and the ability to rise up and rise on currents, air currents, and the Lord will do the same. We may have times where we're low, but the Lord will pick us up. He will comfort us. He will come under us, and he will help us on if we have patience and trust in him and not just run around trying to take care of all these things on our own. Patience requires trust and faith in God's goodness and his love. Psalms 106, verses 13 through 15, it says, "They soon forgot their works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul." Patience helps us have a faith and trust in God. Are we waiting for his counsel? It said that this was speaking of the children of Israel, that they no longer waited on his counsel, but they chased after what they wanted to do, and God gave it to them, but then he gave them this leanness of soul. There was a distance, there was not a closeness in their spiritual relationship with God. There was a distance between God and man. Even though they got what they wanted because they hurried and they were pushing on God to give them what they wanted, he gave it to them, but then they were far from God. And that's not a place we want to be either this evening, a place that is distance from God. Romans 8:25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Also Psalms 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Again, all through the Bible, time and again, we are commanded to wait. And I think the Lord knows our carnal tendencies, how waiting, being patient, is not something that comes naturally. You see, patience is necessary for maturity, victory, and tranquility. Some of you can maybe think of somebody who you know that they just look like they're a very patient person. They take their time. They take their time with others. Maybe they never seem to be in a hurry. Then there are others who you know what triggers them. You know when you get in their way on the road, or if you're too slow and they want something done quicker. Or what are your personal triggers of impatience? What is it that pushes you over the edge or makes you become short with somebody else. And we all have these, we could say we have fuses, whether they're short or long. And that often depends on the state of the heart and the soul, or the activities of a given day, or the personality types, or your past experiences. They all play into who we are as individuals. But regardless of what has happened to us, regardless of who our parents are, I think the Lord has given us the power and the strength to grow in patience and to rise above some of those weaknesses or carnal tendencies. Regardless, as disciples of Jesus, we are called to a lifestyle that exhibits patience. It takes practice, trust, forbearance, and obedience that must be willingly applied by the power of the Holy Spirit over and over and over again and to grow in the likeness of Christ. So what if you tried to practice it every day? Just as you would try to practice your piano every day, or just as Michael Jordan tried to practice basketball every day, and you tried to practice it, you do it again and again on a daily basis. You grow. That is how we're going to grow in it. It's how we're going to get better at it. It's how we're going to, the Holy Spirit can work through us and we can grow in it. But I think we as humans need to do our part in endeavoring to work it out, because in many ways what happens to us is brought on by our own choices. It's brought on by the decisions we make. We can just say, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to be patient with that person. I'm going to be patient when I'm on the road. I'm not going to be anxious about getting the next thing done. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. How can we continue to follow after patience? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6, and this is where my title comes from, is this verse 11, 1 Timothy 6, 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things that follow, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. O man of God, follow after patience. How can we do that? How can we practically, day after day, grow in this patience? I think one of the ways is by focusing on God's character and promises. We look to him who he is. Psalms 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. If the Lord is that person, and we are Christians, or we are small Christ, or we endeavor to live like Christ, we should be following after the pattern of Christ or the Lord and who he is. We see his character. That is who he is. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So if we want to become closer to Christ, closer to the Lord, we should take on his attributes and realize that that is who he is. And if he is dwelling in us, that needs to be the outworking of our lives. We also need to realize that God has infinite patience with you. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How often has the Lord been patient with you? How long-suffering has he been with you? If you got everything you deserve tonight, would you be here? Would the Lord have spared you? Maybe it's when he was calling you and you were living in sin and he was calling you before you accepted him as your Savior. Maybe it was that period of time. Maybe it's just your own carnal weaknesses that come up in your life from day to day that you need to ask forgiveness of from God, from friends, from your church family. If he gave you the judgment you deserved today, would you be here this evening? And the answer is no. All of us have come short of God's glory, and all of us are only here because of his long-suffering, because of his patience with us. And then in return, we turn around and we become impatient with somebody else because they're not doing things as fast as you want them to do. Your children are not growing up as fast as you want them to do. Your coworkers not accomplishing tasks as fast as you want them to accomplish them. We need to stop and remember that God's infinite patience with us. He extends it to us every day. Every day his mercy and grace is new to us. And if it wasn't for his grace every day, we would not be alive. We would deserve judgment on a daily basis. But he has extends it to us. He gives us that patience. God forgives us and lets us start over. We need to do the same with others. We need to continually clear the slate and not hold things from the past and say, today is a new day. I'm going to be patient again. You see, impatience erupts when we hang on to the past. When we carry all of the past with us as a thing of baggage, and we look back and we think of all the people who have hurt us or all the way people have treated us improperly. But patience forgives. It lets those things go. It no longer hangs on to that, just as Christ did for us. Right along with that, we need to continue to cultivate gratitude and contentment in the present moment. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, there's something about when we thank God for what he has given us, or we thank others for who they are, it really is hard to be impatient with those people. If we're growing in contentment and gratitude and thankful for all these things, it just changes our outlook on life, and we no longer tend to be as on edge, and we no longer tend to be impatient with them if we're looking at the good side, if we're being grateful for who they are and thankful for who they are, and all of life. Maybe it's a situation that comes into your life. Maybe you're almost impatient with God because he's not opening doors fast enough for you. You want things to happen now. You wish that you could move on to your next stage of life. Maybe you wish you could get married, or maybe you wish you could have children. Maybe you wish that whatever this is continues on. But be grateful. Be thankful. Have a heart of gratitude for where you are and for what the Lord is allowing you to do today and where you can serve him now. Extend the same grace you received from God to others. And I've mentioned this before, but I remind myself that my entire life has often been two steps forward and one step back. We think we're making progress, and then sometimes we tend to go back. It just tends to be our overall human nature. And sometimes we think that, I'm sure God's okay with that because he sees the progress. You know, if you take two steps forward, one back, you still took one forward. But when that happens with other people, we tend to not be as happy. We look at the setbacks and we say, well, here we go again. It's the same thing again. Why can't we take three steps forward? Why do we have to keep having these setbacks in our life or whatever it may be? But continue to extend the same grace that you receive from God. We also need to accept the discomfort that will come in life. Do not entertain unrealistic or immature expectations. They'll wreck your life. So there's something about our life that we often have these high ideals or high expectations of what our life is supposed to be. We think we know what our future looks like. But so often life with just being human and the world around us, the fallen nature, it tends to come in below that. And too often we look at the gap that is between where we wish life would be and where we actually are. And it may just be hard things that happened. Or again, maybe they're not happening at the speed we wish they would. And we focus on this gap between our expectations and what really happened. Instead of looking at where we have come from to where we are. If you actually look back at your life, oftentimes you will see the progress you've made. Maybe the progress you made in your spiritual life, the progress you made in your family life, the progress you made at work, the progress you made in growing in whatever area. And so instead of looking at where we wish we would be, so often we look ahead and I wish we were there. Instead, I think more often we need to look back and look at where we came from and accept the discomfort, or do not have unrealistic expectations. If we want to live a life of patience, we'll have to let go of some of these unrealistic ideals. And right along with that, we have to think about ourselves less. And this is all woven through the message, but our human nature is never satisfied. We think about me. We think about what we want. We think about if we're cold, if we're hot, if we're hungry, and we, our human bodies wants to take care of themselves. But we need to stop, and we need to think about ourselves less when we think about others. We need to think about how others feel and how our decisions in life will affect those around us, whether we're a husband in the home, what you do as a dad, what you say at the supper table or when you get home from work. It's going to have an effect. Yes, it may have been a cold day out on the job, or it may have been a hard day on the job, and maybe you are hungry, but are those the first words out of your mouth? I need to warm up. I need something to eat. Are you thinking about yourself? Are you thinking about your family, your wife, your children? The list goes on. So are we thinking about others? Are we thinking about ourselves? And if we want to grow in patience, we need to think about others more than ourselves. Because again, impatience is a very selfish thing that can happen in our own lives. Because impatience is all self-centered, all self-focused. A quote that says, "Happy he who learns to bear what he cannot change." We need to continue to think about God more and people less. To enter the blessedness of patience is to turn from wanting the world to love, cherish, and be kind towards us, and to fall more deeply in love with God. Learn to suffer all that happens to you, even confusion, but learn to do so out of only one motive, a love for God. Again, just allowing God to direct our lives, accepting what he allows into our lives will help us to have a more of a love and patience for others. Love continues to grow patience. And in 1 Corinthians 13, why don't you turn there? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Fairly familiar verses, but so as I said, impatience is very selfish. It's self-centered. So if we have love, I think it will help us to grow in patience. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. And charity, this is charity, or could be said love. Charity suffereth long, is patient, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do we have a true heart of love and compassion for others? Because out of this love, out of charity, it says we will be long-suffering, we will be kind, we will be thinking of others more than ourselves. We need to continue to have the same love that Christ has for us. We need to have that for other people that are around us. Love for your family, love for strangers, love for God's plan in your life, love for your current surroundings and love for what God has for us. If we have love, our patience will grow. So it's just a challenge that I want to leave with us here this evening, is to follow after patience, to pursue it, something that we as a Christian people, I believe, should be known for. We should be known as a patient people, somebody who is a long-suffering person because of who God is, because of who Christ is, and Him living in us. We need to be showing that to the world around them. And I think as the world continues to grow darker, and as the world continues to grow more impatient, we will stand out, or we will continue to be a shining bright light if we extend this patience not only to our family, to our church community, but to others that we meet on a daily basis. Patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.